It's all about creating a routine or a lifestyle that you work within. For people who don't like to work out, I get it. Like, it's especially if it's the hardest part is the beginning. So if you build something into your schedule and you have it down that you are going to do something, it's much easier to actually implement it. And once you do it over and over and over again, it becomes a habit. So I'm all about creating habits and rituals to be successful. How you do one thing is how you do everything in life, in my opinion. Yeah. So with exercise, what it taught me was that the goal setting, the discipline, feeling that like nothing's impossible. If I came this far, I can go this a little bit further, right? So that like drive to be better, you know, which again, you can use that towards any aspect of your life.
Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I'm joined by leading fitness authority, author, entrepreneur, and host of the Habits and Hustle podcast, Jen Cohn, to talk about how we can both get our minds and bodies on board to a healthier lifestyle. Topics include how to create healthy habits and actually stick to them. I'll give you a hint. You start off a lot smaller than you think. Sex begets sex. The more you do it, the more you want it. So why exercise works the same way and what the two have in common. Working out with a partner, how to make it fun and keep each other motivated. Plus, getting your kids involved in exercise is actually pretty easy as long as you're doing it too. All this and more. Thanks for listening. Guys, what if I told you that you're not tapping into all the sexual pleasure your body has to offer? I know you think you're the master of your domain, but some of you have yet to experience a P-spot orgasm. Yes, I'm talking about your prostate, and if you haven't tried stimulating it, hear me out. Okay, if I told you there was a bag full of money through a door that you normally only exit out of, you'd march right through. This is the same concept. Lucky for you, my friends at WeVibe have just the thing to help you find your new favorite sensation. It's a prostate massager called Vector. Vector is one of the most innovative prostate stimulators out there. It even has two stimulators, one for your prostate and one that presses against your perineum, or, you know, the taint. Oh, you know what else is cool? You can control it with the WeConnect mobile app. And if you're worried about comfort, no need. The prostate stimulator is adjustable, so you can easily find the perfect angle. You've heard me talk about WeVibe products for years, so you know all about their quality. So now it's your turn to own one designed just for you. To try Vector for yourself, go to sexwithemily.com/WeVibe. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/WeVibe today.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, check out sexwithemily.com for more blogs and posts and things that are going to help you have better sex and relationships. And you can find me on SiriusXM Radio. I am there Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. So check that out and get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can also find me on all social media. It's Sex with Emily across the board. All right, guys, I hope you enjoy the show. I'm very excited to have my guest, Jennifer Cohn. Jennifer Cohn's here, yay. She's a leading fitness authority. She's a Forbes columnist. She's a best-selling author, an entrepreneur, and a frequent guest on national media. She's the host of the new podcast, Habits and Hustle, and the founder of No Gym Required, including her own successful toning shoe line. She has three best-selling books available on Amazon, and the most recent is Badass Body Goals, and that debuted in November 2018. Jennifer Cohn, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here. So you have so many businesses, several businesses. You're a mom, and you still work out every day. And so my question for you is, I feel like it's such a huge struggle for people. Like, I have no time. It's like, well there's 20, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. So like, what's the first thing that you say to people who like complain that they don't have time to work out?
First thing, I'm going to say this. I think that you make it a priority. So do you have time to brush your teeth? Do you have time to take a shower? Do you have time to eat a meal? I mean, it's all about creating a routine or a lifestyle that you work within. So for me, or for people who don't like to work out, I get it. Like, it's especially if it's the hardest part is the beginning and the starting. So if you build something into your schedule and you have it down that you are going to do something, it's much easier to actually implement it. And once you do it over and over and over again, it becomes a habit. And okay. So I'm all about creating habits and rituals to be successful, right? So like anything else, you have to create fitness. You got to create exercise as a habit. It's a non-negotiable for me because of all the other benefits that come with it.
Here's the thing. It's funny when you were saying that, I always say to people about sex though. I'm like, I understand you're dreading it. You're not in the mood, but honestly, you guys, it's like going to the gym. I'm like, the hardest part is getting your shoes on and getting out the door. But once you start having sex, you're like, oh, I'm so glad we did that. And then same thing goes for working out.
It's actually exactly the same thing.
It literally is the same thing. You're like, oh God, there's time. Then you get there. You're like, you're never like, I wish I didn't go to the gym for an hour ever.
Absolutely. And the problem is once you stop doing something, right, that becomes your new normal, right?
Exactly.
Like it could be with sex. It could be with anything.
Anything. So let's talk about it. Tell me, what are some just core things? Like, how do you build a new habit?
I think the best way to build a new habit is starting small and not overwhelming yourself. So you don't want to start with, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and that. Pick one thing and make that the thing that you're going to focus on and do a little bit of it. So let's say, for example, it's exercise, right? So say, you know, before I leave my house or whatever, I'm going to do 10 minutes of working out. And there's no excuse anymore. You can go onto YouTube, Instagram. There's a bazillion workout videos, right? And commit to yourself. Commit that you're going to do 10 minutes of exercise. Chances are that 10 minutes will turn into 20 minutes or 30 minutes. And it becomes, like I said, over time, it becomes something that you want to do, or because you feel weird and uncomfortable if you don't do it, right? So starting small and picking one thing is really to answer your question, the best way to get started.
And it seems like typically it's like all the stuff I've read about habits, like do it in the morning, like build it upon something else you're already doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Like if you brush your teeth, then do 10 squats after you brush your teeth.
That's why I always tell people, though, what's the best time to work out? Truthfully, when in the morning, the first thing. Because the truth is, as time goes on through the day, you get more tired, more things pile up, and chances are 50% of the time you're going to not do it. I say, you know what, wake up 30 minutes early. It clears your head before you open your phone. So for me, I like to exercise even before I even like check my phone, because that will be the biggest time suck of your life. Okay. The phone will time suck you, where then it's like you look at 6 o'clock, it turns out to be 7 o'clock doing nothing. It hasn't benefited you at all. You're going to look at someone else working out. You're going to look at someone else doing something when you could be taking that time for yourself and doing something that will benefit you and help you.
Okay. So I've been a workout person, you know, my whole, like, about 30 years.
Right.
I didn't grow up working out, but, like, I went to college, and then I just realized I slowly started running 10 minutes and then 20 minutes, and then I, you know, ran marathons, and I've been very much into exercise. And I know so many people, though, friends, listeners, everyone, and they're like, no matter what, I try it, I do it, but I'll never like it. And do you think there are those people who just never will enjoy it, but they have to do it? Or do you think if you get to a certain point that everybody's going to learn to love it?
See, I don't think so. I'm not someone who loves to exercise, okay? Let's just be real. It's not like I'm like dying to be on the, you know, doing my interval sprint for like 30 minutes. But I will say what I love about it is the after effects.
Right.
So it's, if you get to that point where you kind of put yourself in that space long enough, you'll eventually get the other benefits. And for me, I'm not exercising anymore for the physical. Like, I'm fine with my ass the way it is. You know, I'm maintaining it, let's say. But really, it's the cognitive functioning. Like, I feel like I am way more on point. I'm way more productive. I have way more energy. It's all those things that make it addictive.
Exactly. That's what I meant. I'm not like psyched to get up in the morning. I mean, it's like, yeah, it's the after effects.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I'm trying to say, is that I know how I feel when I don't.
Right.
Because it is the cognitive functioning and the clarity on that. So that those are the real benefits. But I guess you have to do it for a while to really, I don't remember when the switch happened.
Yeah, I don't, but I think they say like it takes like 3 weeks. I mean, I think everyone's different. Have the other effects. Like if you're not exercising, you're going to be less healthy, right? For your cardiovascular, for all the other things. I mean, you can pick your poison. poison. I think everyone has to find their why, and then from there they can move forward.
Why they're working out.
What the benefit is? Do they want to be healthier for their family? Do they want to be more alert and productive for their work? Or is it a combination of both? I mean, the benefits of exercise go way beyond, like I said, just
Let's
having
talk
a
about
nice
something
ass
to get people inspired. Because then we're going to give them some tips to get into it.
Absolutely, there's a reason why, and I mean, like I'm not going to say everyone, but I will say there is a huge correlation between people who are successful and people who like take exercise seriously. There's a huge correlation. It basically makes your brain healthier because of the productivity, because you're more alert, because of the more energy. And I think there's like, I mean, I'm not a neuroscientist, but there are synapses that kind of become stronger in your brain when you do something repetitively like that. I think the combination makes you that way, especially also goal setting, discipline, all those things to push you past other boundaries. So if you do, how you do one thing is how you do everything in life, in my opinion.
Yep.
So with exercise, what it taught me was that the goal setting, the discipline, feeling that like nothing's impossible. If I came this far, I can go this a little bit further, right? So that like drive to be better, you know, which again, you can use that towards any aspect of your life, right? And I think the confidence that you feel.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the physical gives you the mental strength and the mental confidence.
Yeah, it all works together.
It all works together.
And I think we all know that. Like, this is not a news flash. Like,
no one's
exactly listening is going, oh my God, I should work out. Oh yeah, I know I
exactly
should. But is there an easy way? Like, I love the idea of 10 minutes in the morning, and that's how I even get myself sometimes. I'm like, walk around the block, you know, just do it to
right
get out of the house, because it's not like I try to fit it in every day. It doesn't always work.
Right.
But is there something that you have found that has been, like, if they're like, but I haven't exercised in 10 years, like, where would you start? Like, what exercise would you recommend? Is there like, is it just squats? Is it sit-ups? Is it stretching? Have you found in your research, in your time, that there was something you're like, this is the formula? Because you've written books on this and your trainers and all that stuff.
I say give yourself a 30-day challenge of doing a few things. I mean, listen, fitness now, there's so many, it's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Truly,
right?
Yeah.
And every day there's a new hybrid of fitness things that you can do. You could do yoga, Pilates, and acrobatics all in one. Like, you don't have to be fancy, and people don't like to hear this, but the truth is the basics get the results. It's not doing all this fancy shit. What like gets the results is weight training and cardio, period.
Or yeah,
I mean, mostly,
exactly.
And that's what it is. You can do
does
any
kind
weights,
of concoction.
Weights
though, kind of be like Pilates or yoga, but you got to do the weight. You got to hold the weights in your hand.
I think you need to, it builds muscle mass,
yeah,
and lean muscle mass and bone density. It's good for your bone density. I mean, weight training, like when you see somebody who looks really like what people think is a great body, typically, you know, either they're like a ballet dancer who dances for like 15 hours a day, or a yogi who does 15 hours a day. That I'm not talking about that. But typically they're not going over crazy bored, but they have like a very particular weight training program that they're following, because that's how you build and tone and you have like a tight body.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what I was going to say, Dan,
yeah,
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Go.
Or I didn't mean to, like, you know.
Keep going.
But I think having, for somebody who's just beginning, having a 30-day challenge of doing the basics, some squats, some push-ups, some planks, and call it a day. Like, say I'm going to do 50 of this, 50 of each one, push-ups, squats, and I can give you a little workout.
Also,
and
yeah,
you can
we
give
should
it to
say
people.
This where everyone can find you.
Go to my Instagram, The Real Jen Cohen.
The Real Jen Cohen.
And I put up fitness videos, circuit workouts that you can do
I
anywhere.
I saw those. They're amazing, because we need that. I think that when we're on the road or we're doing something, or it's just easy to have the...
Right.
Oh, I don't know. Since I've been to gym in a while, so I'm like, where do I even start? I know how to do things, but just to have like, yeah, go see a video, you're like, that's going to get you going.
It's like
teasers.
Absolutely. And the reason why I say not walking around the park, I'm saying if someone lives in a very cold climate, not you and I, because we're here in LA, but that will be another reason why they're going to say no. So don't give yourself a reason to say no. So then that's why you can go onto your computer or whatever, and you can just watch like whatever a 5-minute video to get started.
Okay.
And you can go to The Real Jen Cohen, and I have like all these circuits. You can do the best workouts require either body weight or just some basic dumbbells and some bands, and you're good to go.
Yeah. I love the bands. I love the balls. I love all the things. Yeah. It's cool. You just have them outside, like wherever. I have them outside my house, but you just do them.
Right.
So I hear a lot from people like in relationships, and you've probably seen this, like where maybe one person's working out and one isn't. And they're like, my partner, I hear this from couples. My partner won't work out. They won't do it. And now I'm even like, people even email and they're like, I'm losing attraction to my partner.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
They're not making the effort. And typically I hear this, their partner won't work out and they won't go to therapy. That's like a separate thing. I'm not saying it's the same person, but these are the struggles. But I feel like, do you have any tips, or if you work with couples, like how do you get them on board together?
It's
absolutely
true.
Do you think it should be separate?
No.
That's
actually a great point. I think I see it all the time, because what happens is one person gets really into it and the other person's not into it. That it's inevitable that the person will lose attraction, and then it puts you on a bad path. That happens all the time. Like, again, there's enough reasons for people like not to like each other and get along when you're with them for that long. So let's not give them extra ammunition, right?
Exactly.
So like I always tell people, if they do it together, number one, it gives you an activity besides eating,
right,
that you can do together, that you can get good at with each other. You know, you can help each other be accountable. You can push me, I can push you. It's a great way to kind of help elevate your relationship. You know, like me and my husband, what we used to do all the time is we would take dance classes all the time together. Number one, it gives you, especially when everyone's so busy these days, right? You know that you're going to be doing something together for a finite period of time at a certain time, that like it's non-negotiable, it's no excuse. And they're doing something that's like very active, and it's interactive, and it's fun. You know, like you can even, like I said, that could be something for someone to take a dance class. Yeah. That's still
I
active.
I love the idea of that, because I always tell couples, you got to have date night. Like if you have kids and you don't have date night, date night has been proven to help so many couples. Like, you know, they always say like for habits, like make your bed. That's like
the
one thing for couple. Okay. So the number one habit I feel always for people who talk about mindset and changing habits is like make your bed in the morning.
Yep.
My tip like that is have a date night. And people don't often do it. It's like, well, busy, we can't get a sitter. But just think about if your date night happened to be something active, like a dance class or a class at the gym at night, or you guys do it together.
Right. A babysitter is way cheaper than a divorce.
You know what I mean? It's so true.
It's true, right? Like, I totally agree with you, because that's what happens. And that's how people tend to grow apart, right? Is because you end up like not doing anything together. You do what you have to do to kind of get through life, right? Like you do your job, I do my job. And then we do stuff for the kids, and then like your whole relationships get your relationship becomes diminished, and there is no relationship.
Right,
that happens. I would say 99% of the time.
Absolutely.
That's why you need to be much more cognizant of how to stop those things from happening. And unfortunately, you have to be mindful of that and like create a calendar. It's not very sexy, but to have a schedule. Like people have schedules to have sex. People have schedules to have a date night. Like for this exact reason.
But like we were saying, that people get into their habits, it becomes the new normal.
Ritual, yeah, it becomes
the rituals.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm not working out anymore. Well, I'm not a workout person. Oh, it's going to be so hard to get back to it. But if you started and you stick with it now,
right,
that would make total, I mean, that'd be so much helpful.
And then surround yourself.
Do it together. Yeah.
And surround yourself with people, like-minded people who want to do that stuff. Like have friends who want to do that with you, and have, you know, like, you know, become that person by reading about it, hanging out with people like that, doing it with your husband or your girlfriend or whatever, your wife, whatever.
What about kids, getting kids involved?
Yeah. I mean, kids mimic what their parents do, right? So my kids are super active, because I just did like a squat challenge with my 6-year-old the other day. So maybe I'm not a great example, because I come by it more honestly maybe than other people, but I think you start, right? Kids love an iPad.
Yeah.
Or they love TV. I mean, it's impossible to take a kid away from one of those things. So you have to kind of make it fun and interesting, and teaching them early and when they're young is really the best way to do it.
Right, exactly. And they're watching you too. It's funny, because I didn't really work out with my mom growing up, but she, since I was a kid, she was always getting up and going to the gym. Like since she was taking ballet, and then she'd go do like, you know, aerobics and all this, like Jane Fonda and all that stuff. And I was like, ugh. And then I somehow just saw that. And she still does. On the way here, I was just talking to my mom. She's 78. She's like, I just took the best Pilates class, and there was this move I couldn't do anymore. Well, now I'm in the plank, and I can move my knee, like the thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, Mom, you're amazing. Like, that's her whole conversation, was how this new move in Pilates. And it,
her whole life. And so I just feel like watching her do that was like in my head, like, oh, that's an important thing to do, even though it didn't link in for me until I was out of the house. But I love the idea of showing your kids these things when they're younger. We just don't think about it.
Because your kids mimic what you do, what they see around you.
They're paying attention.
They're paying attention. I mean, again, like, I'm not telling my kid to lift weights with me technically, but if he sees that I'm constantly moving and going, it's going to like penetrate some level of his brain,
right?
You know, besides a squat challenge or a burpee challenge.
I want to do a squat challenge. Everyone keeps talking about squats are supposed to be like the perfect exercise.
Well, squats
if you
is
do
like,
it right.
Yeah, exactly. It's a king. It's like the king of all exercises, they say. But I mean, yes, I tend to agree. But I will also say I should make a little caveat here. You know, like for people who don't like weights, don't just not do anything. Find what you like. The best way to make something a habit also is trying everything. Do everything and find something that you like the most or that you hate the least.
Right, exactly.
That you hate the least.
There's so much out there. That's why I do ClassPass now. I mean, so I love it. I can try which class. So you go to a bunch of different places in LA. That might be in New York too.
Yeah.
They might not have this in your city, but it's an app that allows you to go to a bunch of different places and just see
what
you like.
It's in a lot of cities. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
And have you seen, so you've trained people. I mean, you've done it all in this industry. Have you ever talked to couples or individuals who are like, my libido's gone, I'm not into sex. And then once they.
Oh, yeah. First of all, 100%.
Right?
Exercise is huge for that because it helps increase your testosterone, number one. Women have testosterone as well, as I'm sure you know, right? And it gives you more body confidence, right? And more body and more self-awareness of your body. So it's not like for the actual mundane part of exercising that it helps, but there is again, I'm telling the expert here, but like there's a huge connection between exercise and sex, right? Because a lot of people like don't have the interest anymore, right? So if this is actually something that helps, you know, build your testosterone level, and as you age, you lose your testosterone, you lose that hormone, obviously, as you age. But weight training is a great way to keep it kind of pumping.
And specific kind of weight, like is it only like a certain number, certain times a week or a certain amount of days a week or does
minimum?
It
I think you have to do a minimum of 3 times a week.
For like 20 minutes or something.
Yeah, and also, I say 30. But I also feel like people tend to do like lightweight, right? I'm saying to kind of like get that like that thing, you have to kind of challenge yourself by doing more weight than you would normally do, right? Yeah. So like a lot of people get stuck in like doing women. They're like, I don't want to get bulky.
That's
and they do 3 pounds. Exactly.
Right.
You're not going to get bulky, first of all.
Happen.
Not going to happen.
Right.
You know, like if you move it from 3 pounds to maybe 10 pounds, you may actually see some definition and tone. And like that will help you lose the body fat and like gain the lean muscle mass.
Yeah. And you could do all this stuff at home as a thing.
Yeah.
If you're
everything.
Sitting around. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like even just going, you know, the walks or tracking, you know, how you can gamify it too now.
A lot of it's gamified. Yeah.
Yeah. Like make it like a fun thing to do.
Well, there's a lot. My husband was in this thing called a Whole Life Challenge, right? Which was like in his, he's in this thing called YPO and all his little, his friends or his group or whatever, they did this challenge where they're like, whoever loses the most weight in these 30 days get like a body scan, like something, I don't know, something that's like an expensive thing, right? And my husband won. But what helped was it was the competitiveness of that. Like, so that's exactly it. Like if you make it a competition with other people and also have the accountability to other people, it is a great way to jumpstart it. That's why I said like when someone's just beginning or like they want to take it up a notch, you know, jumpstart it by doing some kind of challenge.
Yeah. I like the idea of committing to like the 30 days or committing to something. So, you know, and then
absolutely.
Accountability is huge. On your podcast, Habits and Hustle.
Which you're going to be on, I think, in a week.
I'm excited. I'm so excited to be on. So tell me about what you've learned so far about what are the habits of successful
people.
Because you essentially are interviewing successful people about their habits, right?
Basically.
Their life.
Yeah. And like their, exactly. Right. So what I've noticed is the most, I hear it all the time, which I don't do this, but meditation. I hear meditation is like the almost 9 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
Waking up early is the other one. I am talking like crazy early.
I know.
You know,
that's
like,
the part I can't get to.
I can't. Yeah, I mean,
I meditate, but I'm not setting my alarm.
What kind of meditation do you do?
I do a bunch of different kinds. I first started doing Vipassana about 25 years ago. I did like a 10-day silent retreat.
Oh,
it's that 10.
Wow.
It's like and then I do that, but that was so long. Like you have to sit for an hour. It's much more rigid. So now I do like a 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night kind of thing.
That's still a lot.
Minutes. Yeah, but most definitely the morning and not always the night, but that makes a big. Or before I when I leave work and go home, which is like a great reset for my mind.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Good for
you. It's
just
got to calm the mind. It's like a wild animal in the jungle.
Oh,
absolutely.
You
take care of it. It's just like all over the place. So meditation, working out,
meditation, journaling is another big one. People journal like their intentions for the day, what they're grateful for, what they want to accomplish for that. Yeah, for the day, like the intentions, the gratitude. I hear that all the time.
The gratitude, yeah.
Everyone very very much has they're very rigid in like what they do. You know, I feel like everyone has like their routine that like they don't want to stray too far from that routine because that's what they feel keeps them on point.
To be honest, I do all these things, but routine. And I know this is very curative. Like routine can help you with so many things if you have a set routine. And I have things I do, but it's not always in routine. So for some reason, like I rebel against routine. Like I had to be an entrepreneur because I was like, I will not be there from 9 to 5.
Right.
So my brain didn't work like that. But I still think sometimes I'm like, sometimes I have coffee, sometimes I don't. I eat breakfast at this time. But other things I do. I know it's weird, but like I definitely do work out most days. So it's getting better, but I don't always make my bed. I know I should. I'm rushing. So I still think that's something I still struggle with.
And that's interesting.
In the weirdest, I do all the healthy things, but they're not one after the next. Now, when I do.
And you're successful.
I'm successful. We'll talk about that on your podcast.
Yeah.
So you're finding it's journaling, it's working out. And then what about health? What about diet?
The diet, yes. I mean, there is some kind of like, I haven't found yet that there's one thing that someone does that makes them like, it's not so much what they're eating, but it's about the routine of it. Like what I mean by that is they're going to wake up at this point, then they're going to do this, and then they're going to do this, and then they're going to eat that. It's the regimen and the ritual that is what's important, not what they're exactly what they're eating. Because not everybody that I have on is trying to like be on a cover of a fitness magazine, right? But they are, with their dietary thing, like a big one is intermittent fasting is what I'm hearing a lot right now.
Same. Let's talk about that for a minute because we don't think we've talked about it on the show. Maybe we did a little bit, but not in a while. So let's talk about, because I actually was reading your Forbes article this morning.
Which
was great. I know you write for Forbes. So this was the one about the 9 morning hacks to be more successful because it's right here on my computer.
I read that. I don't even remember that one. I write so many of the hacks and the routines.
But it's so good. No, but you'll know this. It was like you taught, what I loved was like make your bed, which I do. I mostly make my bed.
Right. Right.
Everyone's like, you don't make your bed mostly. No, but and also what I like is, you talk about intermittent fasting in here. So let's talk about that. I know everyone's doing it. Sometimes I try to. I'm like, what time did I stop eating? I don't remember. I haven't done it yet.
The issue is everybody thinks that the big diet type of thing, it's going to like change their lives. And then by like next week, there'll be something else that people try. So I don't get caught up in it, all of it. I'm not a big intermittent fasting person myself because I like to know, I know it works for me. Everyone has things that work for them. So intermittent fasting has been there's been a lot of research that it helps with a lot of things. It helps with your energy levels. It helps with losing body fat. There's a lot of things. But I'm an eater.
Right.
I like to eat. So for me to know that I won't be able to eat after this point or before this time, it's not realistic. And I exercise in the morning.
Yeah.
So I can't exercise on an empty stomach. So just for people who don't know, like usually the easiest way
what is the intermittent? Yeah, let's explain it.
The easiest way to do intermittent fasting is, let's say, eating from 12 noon, right, until like, you know, 8, I think, like till 6 p.m., right? So it's basically only having one window where you're eating all your meals and all your food. So people are...
6 hours, not 8 hours?
Sometimes, well, eight
Ten
hours...
Depends,
I was going to say, what I was going to say is some people who are super extreme do 6 hours, but for people beginning, they can do the 12 to 8, you know, the 8 hours. So that would mean like, let's say 12 to 8. So that means you're not eating anything until noon, and then you start your first meal at noon, and then you can't eat anything after 8. Now, I get that to some extent, but like for me, breakfast is a big one because I like to exercise in the morning and I need to have something. But people are swearing by it for now. But keto is a big one.
Does what you eat in those 8 hours?
So they say that it doesn't. But the truth of the matter is, yes, it does matter. It's basically, from my perspective...
Like you can't have donuts for the whole, like a dozen.
No, you're not going to have donuts. But really, at the end of the day,
one.
Right. Or two, maybe. No, but what the idea behind it, it's restricting your calories. It is. I mean, when you're only eating for a finite period of time and you're not allowed to eat before a time or after that time, like it will either you are going to restrict your calories. So that's a good way of trying to of doing it. And that's why right. people I know who do it, but it's not sustainable over a long period of time. If you have like a, if you have a life, like if you have a social life, like I go out a lot, you know, I have kids on the weekends. It's not that, it's not really that realistic for, for a lot of people.
But if people kind of want to jumpstart their health,
They can try it. I mean, try the 8 hour, right? So they can try doing it and they may have great successes with it. I know, like I said, a lot of people have great successes with it. And even if you do it maybe 3 or 4 times a week, and then the rest of the time you're kind of a little bit more loosey-goosey with it, I guess that's better than doing than nothing. But for me, what works for me and what works for a lot of other people is just being kind of like, kind of be more like, I guess be realistic with who you are and like what your like how your life is, right? Like if you're working in an office and you are, you know, and you like to have breakfast in the morning, you like to have your coffee with your friend, and like maybe it's not going to work for you. Right. But then like kind of be much more conscious of what you're having for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and your snacks.
Right, and not like snacking too late tonight and all that stuff.
Right. Say. I mean, like you can basically like moderate the intermittent fasting.
Is there a certain drive and creativity that they have that you see, or the, how they cultivate that? The people in your podcast, people you've interviewed,
a lot of them. So. You know what? Some of it is, I'm just going to go through my head right now. Yeah. It's like, of course, the making the bed. I've heard that a million times, waking up really early, having a meditation, having an exercise, like a meditation routine, having an exercise plan. Some people eat very specifically, like very specifically, like I said, the intermittent fasting. Mm-hmm. Keto is a big one. Sleep is a big one.
Sleep is huge.
That's a big one too. So sleep is, people kind of underestimate the power and the importance of sleep, because that's when your cells are regenerating. That's how, when people like tend to like gain a lot of belly fat or whatever, it's because usually their cortisol, their stress level is so high, and it doesn't help matters when you're not sleeping.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. And when I come back, more with Jen Cohn. I want to tell you about one of the oldest and most trusting relationships in my life. It's probably the only one that's like never really let me down. I'm talking, of course, about the magic wand. I mean, the magic wand was a big part of my life, even before I started the show. And it's not going anywhere in my life or anyone else's. I mean, you want to know why? The magic wand has been delivering pleasure for 50 years. That's a long time. And it's still the best-selling massage wand in the world. I think it has something to do with all that power. I mean, they don't call it the Cadillac vibrators for nothing. Whoa, it's a good one. And even though it's not easy to improve on something so timeless, they did it again with the latest version called the Magic Wand Plus, and it is awesome. So like the original, the Magic Wand Plus is a full-size plug-in massage wand. It features a soft silicone head, easy-to-use controls, and variable speed that lets you go from a low rumble to OMG with the push of a button. And if you don't have a magic wand in your life, trust me, you should. There are now 3 models to choose from, original, rechargeable, and the all-new Plus. You can see them all and get one for yourself at sexwithemily.com/magicwand. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/magicwand. So if you've been listening to the show, it should be no surprise to you that women typically last longer to orgasm than men. This, my friends, is called the orgasm gap, and now there's something you can do about it. It's called Promescent, and trust me, this stuff really works. Promescent is an over-the-counter topical treatment that enhances men's ability to last longer. No pills, no prescriptions, and no questionable claims. Developed by urologists, Promescent isn't your typical delay spray. It's absorbed into the skin instead of staying on the surface. So instead of numbing everything, it leaves you with plenty of sensation. Enhancing your experience is easy. Just apply to the underside of the penis before sex. It's FDA compliant and clinically proven to help men last up to 64% longer. And because Promescent gets completely absorbed, it won't transfer to your partner. It's time to close the orgasm gap, don't you think? Try Promescent for yourself. Just go to sexwithemily.com/enhance. That's my site, sexwithemily.com/ENHANCE today. I don't remember sleep being, everyone talking about sleep 20 years ago, that they couldn't sleep. Why do you think it is that, I'm just asking, like, there seems like maybe people weren't talking about it as much, but I just remember, I don't remember ever like walking around, my parents, my grandparents weren't walking around saying, I couldn't sleep last night. But now no one can sleep.
I know.
Think it's technology, the phones, the
light. Oh, technology is like a massive one.
Because when you're on your phone all day and you put it on, you're going to be,
Yeah, so like the blue light that comes from your phone is it the blue light? Yeah, the light that comes from your phone, maybe it's not the blue light. It basically screws with your like circadian rhythm.
Yeah.
So it actually has a lot of, that's why they say when you should not look at your phone for a couple hour, an hour before you're going to sleep. Or is it 2 hours?
Yeah, I mean,
there's like, a lot of research.
I think it's like 3 hours,
but whatever. Like, do that? Exactly. Like, it's unreal. Again, like a lot of this, I think also we're in a time of like a lot of information being thrown at people, right? So that's why now sleep is a bigger deal than it was before, or like biohacking, all these other, like a lot of people come on my podcast or like talk about all these different biohacks that they do, like crazy what? Ones. The sleep one, for example, they say that they go to sleep at what time? Like 9 o'clock and wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's extreme. Right. But why? Just because early they can do all the routine.
Yeah, they can do the routine. Or they try to get at least minimum 7 hours of sleep. Or they go from like 10 to whatever. Yeah. So a lot of times these people like don't have much of a social life,
well,
right?
Exactly. Because you can't if you're waking up at 3 a.m.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of that, the biohacking for you now. God, I'm drawing a blank.
No, it's okay. Right, I'm always so interested in it. Now, we've had like people on the show talking about it, but it's been a while. So I think it's going to be interesting for my listeners because we haven't done a lot about how, and it's so important because I am always telling people all the freaking time, like, because number one question I get asked, I get lots of questions, maybe 100,000 a week. And they're like, I have a low libido. I'm no longer in mood for sex. I'm not confident in my body. My partner, I don't communicate anymore. And I happen to know that, like, you gotta move your body. Like, it's still amazing to me that people just don't and get the steps and moving and that we don't realize it. So I feel like it is going to contribute to your relationship. If you're both healthy, not that there aren't other problems, but if you guys find a way and commit to working out together or separately, it is going to change your entire outlook on everything. It's going to make your relationship stronger, your work life stronger. You're going to be a better parent.
Absolutely. Do you find though when you interview all these people that the people who are exercising regularly, who are doing it together, that they're actually a happier couple together? Or do you find that?
I think absolutely. Yeah. I'm just trying to get him to do it. I know it's funny because I thought about this because I had a boyfriend years ago. We used to work out and hike when I was in San Francisco all the time when we ran and that was like part of our routine. And I realized since then, I haven't dated anybody who's works out like I do. And I'm not crazy, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. But that was really nice. So now when I'm like doing my intention for my next partner, I'm like, I want someone who works out. It'd be fun to work out together. Or at least he's going to the gym, I'm going to the gym, or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
So like, it just,
you have to find people that also like, that you have like commonalities with, that you have like things in common with, right? So if you're like a workouter person and your partner is not a workout person, chances are it's probably not going to,
wasn't sustainable.
Gel,
right? I mean, they worked out, but they weren't prioritizing.
Yeah, they weren't prioritizing.
I'm thinking about this now, I'm like, oh yeah, that guy.
No,
that was a good thing when we used to hide. Motivate me.
Exactly. I mean, also, don't you think? Like I was saying this earlier, isn't there something to be said for your testosterone and like how it helps you with like the body confidence? If you exercise and you feel good in your body and you feel good about yourself, your chances are you're going to be more comfortable in the sex space.
Absolutely.
In general. And you're going to want to have it more and do it more.
And even after working out, you can feel really turned on because you've got all those feel-good hormones that are like soaring through your body. And
right.
You're like, oh God, I'm feeling good. And you just feel sweaty and, you know, you could shower and not shower.
Yeah.
But I just want to motivate people to realize like it helps like your pelvic floor if you're doing any kind
of pelvic floor. That's
true,
a whole other
though.
Conversation. 100%.
I'm telling you though, like I remember like even doing Pilates or doing yoga and you're like just intentionally, like if you're tensing and relaxing your pelvic floor muscles, it just in the blood flow, even your penis is going to be less erect if you start losing testosterone because there's not as much blood flow. So it's all blood flow. It's
that's exactly, that's a great point too, right?
Yes, exactly.
So if you get, as you get older, right? Like I guess that's true for a guy. Their penis will not be as like hard.
And I should ask this now, and I'm thinking when callers call, because we get a lot of calls at night, I'm like, what's your work? Are you healthy? But I do ask them that. A lot of them are not healthy. They don't move. They don't move their body.
Like
but
how
now
often?
I'm going to ask all the time. Some people never work out. I mean, what would you say, but the majority, we're in America, what percentage of people actually work out, move their body?
I think people are much, well, we're a nation, we're basically more obese than ever with all these apps, with all the diets, all the information, all this overload of everything. And people are more obese now than they've ever been.
Right.
So, okay, so that goes to show you something. You asked me earlier, like, why is it that people back then weren't so focused on sleep and now they're more focused on it? It's because people are just like, there's so much information out there. It doesn't necessarily mean people are doing it better than they were before. Probably chances are they're not. It's just that you're much more aware of it because it's in your face all the time.
Well, I also think maybe it's because we're lazy. We're not moving as much. We're ordering everything in. Well, we're not doing manual labor.
Well, that's a whole other
thing. We're hiring people to do everything else. We're actually
ordering Amazon.
We're not tired. We're not doing as much during the day. We're lazier.
That's the problem. The more you don't do, the less you want to do.
Exactly.
So, like, don't you feel it that way? Yes. Like, the more they say, there's a saying, like, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. Because people who are not doing anything don't want to move at all. And because you're right, like, that's a great point. Like, you're not even leaving the house to go grocery shopping. Everything is on Amazon.
Movies. You haven't gone to theater.
No.
Right. We're not moving our bodies.
You're not moving at all. And, like, that's why everyone now with the kids, it's so important to, like, basically instill it at a young age.
Because you got to get outside. We got to move. We got to do things. So what about these people who are... Like, I'm just thinking about listeners going, yeah, I've heard this before. Have you found in all your years of working in this industry, I asked this earlier on the show, but is there some kind of motivation or something you found that you say to people that get them finally off the couch? Is it the 10 minutes a day?
Yeah. The 10 minutes a day is to get people to start, right? That's not the motivation. The problem
is... Let's talk about it. What is the difference between motivation and habits and mindset? That's
the motivation is waned. People lose motivation very quickly. It's like willpower. It's a muscle, right?
Yes.
You can only have willpower for so long until you crack and break, and then it doesn't work anymore.
Right.
So, like, that's why everyone is so different and so specific. That's why everyone has to find their reason, their why, because it's very,
give me an
very
example
specific.
Of some whys. Well, I want to be healthier. I want
a
to
lot
lose
of
weight.
Times. I'll tell you the truth. For girls, it's because younger girls, they want to look better.
Right.
Right. So that's their motivation is they're seeing a lot of other girls who are hotter than them and they want to look like that. So then that's their motivation.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. As you get older and you have family and kids, their motivation is to be healthy and be around for your kids. Or because something happened to you, your doctor gave you you had some kind of health scare and that kind of like put you into that mode. Right. And for guys, a lot of times the same thing. It's vanity. Right? Vanity is probably the number one reason. I'm just being honest.
No,
okay?
Makes sense. I get it.
Number two is the reason is health or for someone else in their family. And that's really the reasons, really. Or
and then
because,
how do you motivate them? That's the motivation.
So the mindset. The mindset is the motivation is you basically motivate them by... this is what I've done before. I tell people to find a picture of what visualize what you want, like who you are. Who do you think you are right now? Like don't be who you are, but be who you want to be. So like have a picture of what your goal is, right? And then work towards that. So put sticky notes around, put pictures around. So things are visible because people visualize all the time what they want to do, but then they have to have something like on the outside to remind them.
Right.
So like, you know, people would put like, they put pictures on their fridge. They put like sticky notes on their...
Like a woman in a bikini. I think my mom used to do that. Things
right?
like that. Or it was a woman who wasn't in a bikini who was eating a lot. She was like, I don't want to be that.
Or right. Or who you want to be.
My mom did it all. Yeah.
Back in our day, our parents did all that kind of...
They did.
Moms, we did all those kooky diets. Yeah. Remember it was all carbs?
Yes. In the 90s, it was like all carbs and no fat.
It was fat free.
It was
fat free.
So bad, right?
Fat free was like the big thing, and that the reality is like fat doesn't make you fat, right? Sugar makes you fat.
That was so stupid, though.
I know.
How do we all believe that?
Because that's what happens. Everything in life is cyclical. I can guarantee that's going to happen again in like 30 years. That's what happens. Everything comes back and everything kind of like...
People are going to be fat free again? Yeah, tell them no. Look back at us.
Course.
It was so bad for you. It messed up your hormones.
It's
it messed
terrible.
Up everything.
Well, fat's great for you, but you need fat to like... That's the keto diet, whatever.
Right, exactly.
Like,
and improves your sex. If you're not eating enough fat, like start eating more fat for like a few weeks. You also could feel your libido come back. You
right.
could feel your sex drive increase.
That's a great... See,
it's true.
Talk about that on my podcast.
I know, it's true. Like avocados, like people notice that when they start eating fuller fat mm-hmm. diets that they have more of a sex drive. And they because it's just, you're just depleting yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
It's actually
like essentially starving your sex organs that
Absolutely.
Need to be alive for you to want to have sex.
Exactly. You must be having a lot of sex since you do this for a living, I would imagine.
Yes, I have. Well, not lately. I told you, I've taken a little break, but my whole life, people are like, oh, I'm like, no, you guys, I've been having a lot of sex. Don't cry for me. I please. But yeah, no, I have to.
Well,
I love it.
I mean, I was
gets gonna, better
if you do this for a living, and you do. I mean, you'd be. I would think it'd be great to have. I mean, I don't want to personally, but I think a guy would want to have sex. You probably have like all the tricks.
But that's the thing. I do. But then you think now, if you when I'm in my single phases, people, they're like, oh, well, she's going to teach me some things, and then you're always a teacher.
Oh yeah,
but that doesn't happen. True. But here's another thing about that. That's what people say, and this is my conversation with people. But the truth is, by the time someone's getting to my bedroom door, I already know. Like, I can already tell what the I'm not going to have to be like the bullhorn, like to the left, to the left, to the right. Like, I think that's what they're thinking is going to happen. I'll be handing out like some diagrams or something.
Right.
But I'm not like that at all.
No.
No, I'm not. No, I was so bored. So stressful too. Could you imagine having sex and me being like, no, left arm, right arm, like,
oh, absolutely. Down there. Well, it's like anything. Like in my business, it's like super stressful and anxiety reading because people always expect you to like look a certain way because they think you're in the fitness business and you should have like a perfect this, a perfect that.
Right.
There's a lot of stress with any of
there
this stuff.
There is a lot of stress. Yeah. That's absolutely right. Yeah. They must be stressing you out about that. I could see that. So, motivation might be putting visual items around your home. Maybe it's, being accountable. That would be motivation if someone's calling you. But I'm thinking about my
accountability. I mean, the accountability.
So then what's the mindset?
Well,
motivation.
The accountability keeps you going, right?
Okay.
So for accountability, it's super important. There's now people who are just like accountability,
coaches
it?
Like, or something?
Coaches.
I have a friend who was trying to get a kid. He was trying to wake up at 6 a.m. with the kid and he couldn't. So he like literally hired someone to come over and wake him up every day at 6 a.m. for like a month. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, people
I need
like
that.
People do that. Or like a guy I work with, he hired some girl exactly that to be his accountability coach who lives in like Atlanta, who calls him all the time and makes sure. It's just people, whatever works. There's a ton of apps that way. Also, now that I'm thinking, not to kind of go back, but fasts are big. People are doing like water fasts and all sorts of fasts to kind of as a biohack or a hack.
But a fast, but
to like detoxify your body. That's
that
another one I
for
hear.
You, though?
No, water I don't believe in that. A lot of stuff
hungry.
I think is nonsense.
I couldn't do this stuff. I couldn't work. I couldn't talk.
Right.
I have to lay in bed all day.
No, I know.
And then you just drink water and sleep. But then you would drink the water, and then the next day you eat food, and then you're
back to. Well, they think that they say that it's about detoxifying your body is why they do it. It's to kind of cleanse your body. It's not so much for the weight loss. I feel like your body, and you know this too. I mean, any doctor will tell you this, or that like your body, if it's healthy, it detoxifies itself. Your liver should to do it for you. You don't need to do these things. But sorry, I just wanted to remind.
Liver,
I wanted to talk about that because you asked me earlier. But like other habits, I hear a lot.
Yeah,
of.
Other habits. Yeah,
like other people do all sorts of crazy fasts, like 3-day fasts, 5-day fasts.
Yeah, but then they're doing the fast, and then they're all like having a binge that weekend, mm-hmm. right?
Well, yeah.
What about alcohol too? Alcohol is like the worst drug. Worst drug for you. They say out of everything.
It is. It's the worst. But I think they do it for the discipline, right? I think a lot of times people do these fasts like is to see how far they can take something, right? Like now I can starve myself for 2 days. I cannot eat for 3 days, 5 days. I think a lot of times people who are like very successful like that, and they constantly want to see like how far they can push themselves mentally and physically, and that's why.
Yeah, I get that too. And I used to be more like that, and I think it's still in me, running marathons and doing triathlon, just doing a bunch of like races and stuff like that and committing to 30 days of yoga. But I don't feel like I don't know. Is that just like a personality type? Like again,
I think it's a personality type.
So some people are gonna be like, all of a sudden, wake up and be like, I'm that person.
I think what happens is it's a personality type, but I think it builds on itself, right? I think everything is like there's like people start slow and they kind of get more and more intense and things kind of build on it and it becomes that. But that's the whole thing about building like healthy or habits. Forget about healthy, like habits or rituals. Once you start, typically what happens is you maintain it or you kind of like push a little bit more. So for people like that personality type that we're talking about, it's their personality type to kind of keep on pushing as far as they can, right? But like for the sake of what my podcast is about, right? It's people who like have that mindset.
They already have it,
they
though.
Have
They're
a
born
mindset.
That way.
You can work, but the whole thing that I'm learning and finding
let's
is
teach that.
You can change and you can learn that mindset. There's like, you can do things to kind of change and tweak your mind to be different. There's people who have a mindset that's very much like, I can't do attitude, but it's like, it's changing the way you talk to yourself and what you say in your head that that changes that outcome, right? So your mindset changes as you practice changing it.
Exactly.
Right? It's like how you talk to yourself.
Exactly. So it's a negative, because we all default towards, like many people, beating ourselves up or negative self-talk. Realizing that that's going on in your head, and then like stopping
it. And stopping it in that moment, or changing the way you say it, right? Like, you know, like I wish I could do that, or like, versus like, I am going to do this, or just like not think so much like, you know, maybe it can happen in the future far away, as opposed to like thinking of it can happen in the moment.
Right. It's not like I have to go to the gym. I get to go to the gym, like switching up your mindset.
Yeah, I'm not talking that. I'm saying more about like something like you want to like actually a goal that you have in mind. Like, I'm going to lose 25 pounds, or you vision yourself being 25 pounds lighter. Not like, you know, I wish I can lose weight. Well, I'm going to lose weight.
Right. And let's talk about that part of it.
Like the process.
Because the mindset too is so important. The visualization. And I get tripped up on that sometimes, because I do a lot of different like intentions, writing my journal, thinking about it in the morning, even on the way to work, like what I want the day to feel like.
Right.
But sometimes that's challenging, I think, for a lot of people to know what they even want. But I think when you say something like, I want to lose 25 pounds, but to say like, what will I look like? What will I feel like at 25 pounds? Like, what will I be wearing?
Right.
What do I smell? What do I taste? Like really getting it into your body and experiencing that whole, I think can be really powerful to have that image of you already there.
Right. Like the details.
The details of it.
The details of it all. Exactly. It's about the details. That's why it's not about like, oh, one day I can be that way. But it's about, oh, I can do that now. And what I was going to say earlier is the process. Right? Like, then that's when you'd be like, how to break it down to get there. And then you work that process.
So how would you break it down into the first step of...
Depends what it is. It can be... So this, by the way, doesn't even have to be like... So in my world now, it's not so much about just like the exercise. It's about anything, right? So it's about like really tweaking your brain, right? And to be like changing the behaviors. And when you say that, it's like there's a ton of different work booky things you can say, or like little things here and there. But the first thing is like the negative talk, the change in the way you talk to yourself, change in the way how you envision yourself. Like the whole, like all these things, like believe it to achieve it. The truth is, it's true. Like fake it till you make it. It's true. There's a reason those little like sayings actually mean a lot.
They absolutely do.
Right?
Right.
Because you are what you think you are. Right. So if you think that you're a certain thing, that's who you are, right? But if you walk into the world that and you're confident and you see yourself in one way, people are going to feel that. People are going to like see you as that. You know, you can claim anything you want.
Exactly. So were you always this way, Jennifer? Like, were you born out of the womb? Like, what was your journey?
I think I had always a natural ambition, right? And drive, right?
But that's like what we're talking about too, right? These people that it's ambition and drive.
It's ambition and drive. And the truth of the matter is, like anything in life, you have to foster it or else it dies, right? So with me, I mean, the exercise for me was, and the reason why how this whole thing even like morphed into what it is, was for the exercise was kind of a way for me to kind of self-actualize and really feel, get my confidence, right? So I was, you know, I was a Jewish kid in Canada, and everybody socialized around food, right?
Right.
So like, you know, I was like a little zuftic, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like, and so I started to exercise more of a way to kind of balance out my food habit, right? But then what I noticed was all the other benefits that were coming from it, right? Which was like, you know, I was getting fitter. I felt more confident. I was like I said earlier in this podcast, like it taught me discipline. It gave me some goals to kind of achieve in that space where like when I was, because I was a young, I was a teenager. So in those formative years, it was tweaking my brain already to be a certain way, to be a little bit more about like, you know, have more goals, have more discipline. And it was giving me such like, confidence, like what I could achieve. So I started going after things and going after shit that was completely like crazy to most people. Mm-hmm. Like I got Keanu Reeves to be on my demo tape when I wanted to be on Much Music, which was like the MTV of the world, you know,
right.
Like things that people are like, oh, wait, why would this person do that for you? Why you? And I didn't let anybody's negativity like change or tweak what my goal was.
Right.
Like I didn't really like care. I think when someone becomes, when they see themselves doing well at something, it's the greatest motivation, right? So you keep on asking me, what's the people's motivation? What's people's motivation? I think to motivate you, and I don't like that word motivation because I think I said it wanes, but the best motivation is when you start doing well and start seeing progress, you start to progress, and that keeps you progressing, and that gives you the motivation to continue on. But when I was saying when I was a teenager and I was like doing exercise and all these things, like I said, like I was seeing myself change physically, and it was helping, and I was changing mentally because I felt like I was conquering goals that, you know, I didn't think I could.
Right. And that you set for yourself.
And that I set for myself. So I think when anyone does something that they see themselves doing well in, it makes it like I said, I think everything actually breaks down and comes down to confidence. So when you go after anything, it's because, or you don't stop at something, it's because you feel confident that you can either achieve it, or if you don't, you don't care. You're going to go after it, right? So it's the question really becomes, how does someone really build confidence?
Yeah.
Right? That's really the question. And the answer to that is basically doing things to make you feel better about yourself, that you're going to like feel better. And when you feel better, you look better. And it all feeds into each other.
And it could really just start with someone doing 10 minutes a day when they wake up in the morning to start today. I think this is so inspiring.
That's exactly what it is. And that's why I say it's just like the exercise, it can sound trite and trivial in some ways, but the reality is the benefits of it can go way beyond what you think if you just kind of take a chance and like work the program for it.
Yeah. Exactly. So even if you lay out your clothes the night before, that's helped me too when I get off the track, like just making sure that you are set up for success to start it.
Exactly. And like for girls, for women, I mean, I don't, women out there, when people are like, they don't go after certain things. They feel timid to try something. And a lot of times it's because they don't feel confident and they are like, they have a lower self-esteem. So I try to help women all the time say like, it sounds silly, but like if you start to feel better and look better, they both work with each other. And the best, what I've seen in a lot of these girls that I work with, I used to specialize in these and young women, is as they got stronger and more fit, their brain started to change.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
Yep.
And they were becoming more assertive and they were becoming much more confident and self-assured, and they carried themselves differently. And that changed the trajectory, right, of their life. So
wow, that's inspiring. See, that's another reason why families should get on board, do it with your cousins, everyone start working out with their kids.
I think so.
Thank you so much for being here. Jennifer Cohn, I have 5 quickie questions that I ask all my guests.
Oh, okay.
Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. What is your biggest turn on?
Confidence.
Biggest turn off?
Insecurity.
What makes good sex?
Someone who is comfortable in their body.
Something you would tell your younger self about sex and relationships.
You know what? That looks don't really matter.
Number one sex tip.
That's a good one. Don't be afraid to ask for what you want.
I love it. So good. Okay, thank you so much. Jennifer, where can people find you? We'll repeat this. And this is also going to be in the show notes, all your info.
Oh, yeah. They can find me at The Real Jen Cohn on Instagram. They can find me at jennifercohen.com. They can find me on my new podcast, Habits and Hustle.
Check out our Instagram. It's super inspiring. It'll make you want, that could be your first routine.
Yes.
Your first workout routine.
Absolutely.
And check out our podcast. Thank you so much for being here, Jennifer Cohn.
It's great. Thank you.
All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed the show, and just thank you all for supporting the show and for subscribing. We love when you subscribe and review it and then letting someone else know. Who else could use some of this sex advice that you've been learning from? So we appreciate all your support, and thanks to my amazing team, Ken, Kristen, Michelle, producer Jamie, and Michael. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. I am so excited to let you know you can now hear Sex with Emily live 5 days a week on SiriusXM Radio. You'll find me on Starz Channel 109 Monday through Friday at 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. But don't worry, the podcast is staying right here. My brand new radio show will have everything you love about Sex with Emily and more, because every day I'll be interviewing guests, sharing the latest news, and my favorite part, taking your calls live on the air 2 hours every weekday. If you're a SiriusXM subscriber, you already know how great it is. If you never tried it, get a free trial for 30 days. Just go to sexwithemily.com/SXM. That's sexwithemily.com/SXM today to try SiriusXM for yourself. See you there.